But we're not in a hurry. We're going to track through this and make sure God's hearing. We're hearing him, and our kids are taken care of, and there's delicious cookies outside when we're done. We're looking at this concept that is a biblical one, of our church as a kingdom community or a gate of heaven. Last week we looked at this passage of scripture, Genesis chapter 28. You remember Jacob is journeying, and he comes to a place and he spends the night there, and he has a dream. And remember his dream? In the dream, there was a ladder reaching down from heaven onto the earth. And so this would be the heavens. And the Bible says angels were ascending and descending. And Jacob's down here sleeping. All right, that's a guy asleep. And you remember, Jacob sees this in a vision and dream. He sees this ladder stretching from the earth up to heaven, and angels ascending and descending, and God begins to talk to him. God begins to awaken prophetic purpose in his life. He begins to speak to him of issues. He reaffirms covenant. He says, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll be with you. And he begins to transact with him. And powerful things are being said to Jacob. Jacob is a rascal. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. He's running from his brother Esau. But God shows up to him, and this vision he has of this ladder, and then he wakes up from his sleep, and look what it says. Surely the Lord is in this place. In other words, he's like, the Lord is here in this place. And then it says, and I didn't know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? And then he says this interesting phrase, this is none other than what? The house of God. Here in the book of Genesis, then, we have the beginnings of what church is. What church is supposed to be. You can't look at what church is supposed to be just by going to Acts chapter 2. Because Genesis is the book of Genesis, or beginnings. And so here we have the foundational, prototypical definition of what is a church. A church is the house of the Lord. And look what Jacob says the house of God is. The house of God is what? The gate of heaven. In other words, the house of God is the place where God's presence comes and transacts with humans. God is not like, you know, our God is not the God of Bette Midler. Y'all remember Bette Midler?
Yeah.
The song she wrote, that big old song in the 80s, you know what it was? Like the one hit she had in the pop world? From a distance. Well, I guess she had a couple, Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong, and then there was From a Distance. And the lyrics was, from a distance, God is watching. That's not our God.
Amen.
Our God doesn't watch from a distance. Our God interacts and transacts with us through this place called the house of the Lord. So the gate of heaven is a place that opens up the heavens and allows God to come and transact with humans, to change their destinies, to give correction and adjustment and strength and resource. And this picture of angels ascending and descending is really a prophetic image of what church is supposed to be. Church is to be a place where God comes and the angelic hosts come and transact and give us resource, whatever we have need of. Angels are simply a prophetic image of God's presence. Wherever God goes, remember, he's like Mike Tyson. Wherever he goes, there's an entourage. Right? Wherever he goes, his angels are with him. And what's amazing is that Jacob says that the house of God is a gate of heaven. And what we want to plant here in Orange County is a gate of heaven. We want people to come and be able to transact with God, have God in their midst, have divine resource come and make us better husbands and make us better wives and kids and youth and families and business people and better with our finances, better with all our stuff. Why? Because divine resource makes us to be more like him. And so the church is a house of the Lord. The church then is a gate of heaven. Now, here's what we talked about. Gate is a portal, right? It's an entry point. Here's what the enemy's job is. Here's what Satan's job is. Keep the gate closed. Let them just have a good meeting. Let them just eat some donuts and drink coffee and do some religious ritual, but don't let any divine transaction happen. Keep the gate closed. Our job is to open the gate. Keep it open. And the gate gets closed through bitterness, unforgiveness, gets closed through undealt with sin, pride, ambition, competition, prejudices, hurts, all kinds of things can close the gate. And so his job is to come and get you closed off to God's presence. He wants you to live as a mere human. He doesn't want you to live in Christ. He doesn't want you to have the fullness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Our job is to keep it open. We keep it open through pure hearts, good hearts, honesty, clean spirits, through worship, through praise, through faith, through prayer, through warring in the Spirit. We keep the gate open, and if we do that, God fills this place with the resource from heaven. Amen? So that's like just a summary of last week. And so I want to finish up looking at the fact that we are wanting to build City of the Cross Orange County as a kingdom community slash a gate of heaven. And now we'll look at that. Let's look at a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Very interesting. And by the way, we're just going to take our time, all right? Because I want to get these foundation things into us for the future. It says, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Now, you know that coming to him as a living stone, that him there is Jesus. Amen? We are not a religious organization. We are people who are coming to Jesus. Amen? Amen? We are unashamedly, unabashedly, unembarrassedly, absolutely all about Jesus. Amen? We don't just follow his teachings, we follow him. Because he's not dead. Amen. That's the whole point of the resurrection, right? Amen. Listen, if it was just his teachings, he wouldn't mean to resurrect it. Came, you know, downloaded some teaching. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, da 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 da. Die, and then we follow his teachings. No, his resurrection means that I am a Christian because I follow him, the living God. So coming to him as to a living stone. It's very interesting. Peter's describing Jesus as a stone then. He's a stone, but he's a living stone. Now watch. Has been rejected by men. Listen, Jesus will never be popular, no matter how many lawyers you hire for him, no matter how you package him. In the world structure and system, Jesus will never be popular. When he says, when men curse you, bless them, that's not going to fly. When he says, listen, love your enemies, that's not going to fly. When he says, pick up your cross and follow me. Listen, when he says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. When all those kinds of things, unless you're born again, you hear that and it's toxicity to you. They rejected him. They rejected him. But look, choice and precious in the sight of God. That's where I want to live. I don't care what anyone out there says about me. I want to be choice and precious in his sight. That's Jesus. Amen? Now look what it says. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, you also as what?
Living stones.
Living stones. Therefore, what Jesus is, I also am. Correct?
Yes.
You know what it says? Isn't he a living stone?
Yes.
Aren't I a living stone?
Yep.
Now here's the difference. He is the chief cornerstone.
That's right.
But I am joined to him as a living stone. Look what it says. We are being built up as a what?
Spiritual
house. Therefore, my life, who I am, right? Felicia's life, Felicia, right? Felicia's life, who she is, all that Gary Masumoto is, all that Teddy is, when we gather together, we are living stones being crafted and shaped by God to be built into a spiritual house.
Amen.
Not a natural organization, a spiritual house, a house full of the Spirit. Now, that is church, brothers and sisters. Church is not like a nice little place where you go and you get your coffee and the pastor gives you pop psychology baptized into Christianese.
Mm. Wow.
Seven steps for a good week.
Mm.
Come on. That's not church. Church is a spiritual house.
Amen.
It is a actual crafting and architecting of God to make a home on the earth for what? A holy priesthood to live in. In other words, I not only am part of a house, I am a priest in that house. So therefore, every single one of you are priests.
Right.
Not in the Catholic religious sense of Father, forgive me for I've sinned. But in the sense that we offer to him, look, spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So this house that the church is a bunch of priests who can transact with God.
Amen.
come into his presence and say, Father, can I talk to you? And God can say, I want you to do this for me. I want you to, and we become partners with God because we are a holy priesthood.
Amen.
A holy priesthood. That's who you are as a believer. Amen. You don't go to church. I said it last week, and I've said it 100 times. I've never gone to church in my life. I am the church.
Amen.
We are the church.
Yeah.
Church is people, not place.
That's great.
Amen?
That's really great.
Church is a group of people that are being built together as a spiritual house. Who lives in the house? God does. God does. God does. He lives amongst our shared life. He lives amongst our joining together. When I put my preferences down and I join a common preference of my brothers and sisters, I'm part of the house of God. And now his will is preeminent, not my will. Amen? A spiritual house. That's an amazing thing. We're a holy priesthood, a spiritual house. And what do? We offer up spiritual sacrifices. Aren't you glad that we don't have to, when you came in, you didn't have to bring a bull or a goat or a lamb or a pigeon? You know, if you lived before Jesus died and you came into God's presence, you had to bring an offering. You had to. God says, you cannot come before me empty-handed. You still cannot come empty-handed, but what's in your hand is praise and worship and thanksgiving. Right? It's your whole life. You offer your body as a living sacrifice. But aren't you glad that Christ came and ended the idea of that you come into God's presence with the blood of an animal? I mean, you realize if that was the case, we'd have to really have some zoning issues.
Yeah.
I mean, because we'd have to build like an altar and have all kind of conduits for the blood to run out. And that's how the tabernacle of Moses was built in Solomon's temple, because you had to have a place for all the blood to go. But Jesus ended that. He was the Lamb of God. But now we still are a sacrificing people. We give our time. We give our finances. We give our praise and our worship. We offer to him sacrifices. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because we are a spiritual house. We're a gate of heaven. Where we are where God operates in the earth through. Amen? Let's look at another verse. Look at verse 8. It says, we are, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Now that's very interesting. Because look, up in verse 5, it says that we are a holy priesthood, right? Mm-hmm. That means set apart, special, unique, sacred. But look at verse 9. It says that this priesthood is a what?
Royal.
When you say royal, you kind of have to roll your R's to be kind of British, right? Royal. Because it just elevates it a little bit. We are a royal priesthood. Now, that's an amazing thing. Think about that. Because I don't know any of you specifically in terms of your lineage going back 500 years, but I don't think we have any natural blood royals here, do we? Any of you connected to some king somewhere?
Queen.
A queen, all right. Darren, you are?
Yeah.
Back in like Djibouti or Ghana or
no,
yeah.
Kenya,
all right. All right. A Maasai king?
Yep.
You look a little Maasai. Can you do that little jump thing?
I'll show you later.
I've seen it. But watch, a royal priesthood. Why? Because we are part of the kingdom of God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? So therefore, our priesthood is not just a service. It's not just sacrificial. It is royal. That's why we're a kingdom community. We're not just a church. We're not dispensing good advice on how to have a good week or all those things are fine. But the place that you interact with that kind of stuff from is so important. I am a king and we are kings and queens. We are royal, which means we have the right to govern. A kingdom community means you have the right to govern. You have the right to dominate. You have the right to take control over every single thing that would want to take you from God's will.
Amen.
Amen. Look, we are a chosen race. That's very interesting. I mean, you realize what screws up most of the world over all the last thousands of years is this race says, no, we're the chosen race. White is right. Right? Black power. No, the Latinos have been around a long time. No, the Asians, they go back thousands of years. What are you talking about? On and on and on. Listen, there's only one chosen race in the earth. And it's not white, black, brown, red, it's the people of God. Mm-hmm. The race, the genetic structure that makes us chosen is not our blood DNA, it's our spirit DNA. Mm-hmm. We've been born again. Amen? Very interesting. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen race. Look at this. We are a what?
Holy nation.
That doesn't sound like going to church for me. That speaks of identity. It speaks of functionality. We, when we are born again and we call Christ our Lord, we are actually birthed into a nation in the earth that is made up of every tribe and tongue and people and race. There's only one holy nation, and it's not America. It's not. There's only one Christian nation, and it's not the United States or Canada or England. It's the church. The church, the people of God. And that's made up of your brothers and sisters from Ghana, from Fiji, from Brussels, from Japan, all across the nations of the earth. There's only one Christian nation in the earth, and that's the kingdom of God. It's the church. Amen? Now, if you really get that, it changes the way you go to work tomorrow. Because you don't come into your work as a Christian trying to just not, you know, look at pornography today on my computer. You don't come in just trying to make it through the week and thank God it's Friday. You come in as a governor of reality. You come in as a king, as a priest. You are part of a royal priesthood. Amen. You are part of a chosen race. It elevates who you are. It ennobles your daily life.
Amen.
Because you know who you are.
Amen.
You know who you are. You're part of God's people. Look, we are a people for God's own possession. He owns us.
Amen.
We're God's own people. That's a church. That's what it means. That's what Jacob discovered. Remember God said to Jacob, I am the Lord, your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and you. And I will be with you. And I'll bless you. And I'll do this. And I'll do this. And that's all part of this reality that we have been called by God to be a kingdom community. Amen? Sound good?
Yes.
Look at this. Revelation chapter 1. We'll have some comments in a minute. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. This is the header of the book Revelation, and it's being written, and it says, this letter is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. And look, what is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Would y'all say that phrase with me? Ruler of the kings of the earth. Who is President Obama's boss, according to this verse?
Jesus is.
Who is the Prime Minister of England's boss? I forget whoever it is now.
Obama.
It's Obama. Yeah. Okay, but because Jesus is Obama's boss, yep. England got to come into it. I mean, listen, it doesn't say he is the ruler of the good kings of the earth. It doesn't say that he is the ruler of a few. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Therefore, our Lord, Jesus Christ, is governing the affairs of the nation. He's bringing things to his purpose. What we think is an economic crisis is God shifting the nations. Yes. What we think is an invasion into a country is God just doing stuff that needs to be done for his purpose to be accomplished.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't see that, you freak out when the stock market collapses. Mm-hmm. You freak out with an earthquake or a tsunami or whatever it might be. God is governing everything. Not God in general, Jesus. Now, hear me, brothers and sisters. The Jesus who is the head of the church, the one who's with us in this room right now, the one whom we said, my Jesus, that same Jesus is governing the affairs of the world. And he has called you to be a stone connected to him to give him an earthly house in which he can dwell.
Amen.
That's a kingdom community. That's a church.
Yeah.
Look, he is the firstborn of the kings, ruler of the kings, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Watch. And he has made us to be what?
Kingdom.
Everyone say, he has made us?
He has made us.
To be a kingdom.
To be a kingdom.
Wow. I mean, this isn't like a nice little church. This is the kingdom. Notice, why does he free us? Why does he love us? And why does he release us from our sins? So we can go to heaven. No, it's not what it says. It doesn't say he loves us and releases us from our sins by his blood so we could go to heaven and sit on a cloud and play a harp. No, he did that to make us something. He made us to be a kingdom. Look, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. What is a kingdom? It's the domain of a king. King, dome. Dome is the word for the realm of authority. And we are the instruments, the vehicle by which he exercises his kingly rule in the earth. Mm-hmm. Now, if you misinterpret that, you go kill terrorists. You go kill heirs. If you understand it properly, you govern in the realm of the spirit. This is the problem with the Crusades in the Dark Ages, is that they read this literature and says, we are a kingdom, let's go kill everything that doesn't believe like us. But how did Jesus exercise his kingly power? He died on a cross. Amen. Death to self is the power that drives the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, we govern in the realm of the spirit. We make sure God's purposes hit the earth. We are a kingdom. Look at this verse, Revelation 5. I love this. It says, they sang a new song. Look what it says. Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain. Talking about Jesus again. And you purchased for God with your blood men from every what? Tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made them to be what?
A kingdom
and priests to our God. And they will reign upon the earth. That's what that they will. They will reign where?
On the earth.
Well, when Jesus returns, I'll finally be able to not sin. When I die, I'll be able to control my temper. Right? That's a lot of people's idea of becoming perfect and mature is. Well, until Jesus comes back, I gotta be weak. Because, you know, we're all human. I'm only human. No. He made us to be a kingdom. And we reign where? On the earth. You can govern your lust. You can govern your temper. You can dominate the spiritual forces that are trying to wreak havoc in your children's life. You can speak into the spiritual reality that's trying to take things off track. You can govern in the realm of the spirit. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're part of a kingdom. You reign. You reign. You reign. You don't get reigned over. You reign. Yeah. Amen? I love this verse here. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, for if by the transgression of the one, look, death reigned through the one. That's Adam's sin. Allows death to be in charge of us all. Unless the Lord returns and we finish, all of us in here are going to die. Correct? Yeah. It is not possible to not die. Why? Because death reigns. Death reigns. But in Christ, look what it says. But much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, what will they do? They will reign in life. Through one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Crisis doesn't have to wipe you out. Come on. That bad news doesn't have to set you back for 6 months. Suffering doesn't have to shrink you down to nothing. Attack and persecution, all that kind of stuff doesn't have to wipe you out as a human. No, you can reign in life through one Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because we are a kingdom community. We are a gate of heaven. We have a ladder that gives us access to the resource from God himself. Your creator. God is real, folks. He's not just an idea of religion. He's real, and he wants to have a real relationship. How does he do it? He creates churches that are gates of heaven, the house of the Lord. And he sets a ladder down into Irvine. And when we worship and we praise and we die to self and we're full of faith and prayer, transactions happen.
Yeah.
Our life is shifted. Our identities are changed. And we conquer all the things that want to conquer us.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to get wiped out and spend 3 months, well, I just had a rip. No. You can build the inner configuration of your life in such a way that you can reign in life through one Christ Jesus. And that's what churches are meant to be. Places where people come and learn how to reign. How to reign in life.
Amen.
Why? Because he made us to be a kingdom. Because we are a royal priesthood. Amen. Isn't this the heart of the Lord's Prayer? I mean, you know, do you realize the Lord's Prayer is prayed by everyone? I mean, the dying gangster on TV, you know, oh, pray with me, our Father who's in heaven. Richard Nixon kneeling down next to whoever it was, our Father who's in heaven. I mean, it's become such a cliche to say the Lord's Prayer. But Listen, the reality of the Lord's Prayer is not the mimicking of words. It's a icon that you click on and whoom, the whole world opens up of the kingdom. Look at the heart of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven. Look, see here? You who are up there, let your name be regarded as absolutely holy and righteous. You are the only God. But then look at the second part of the prayer. Your kingdom. What? Come. Your what? Your will be done. Where?
On earth.
On earth. How? It's the same way it is in heaven. In other words, God wants his will up here to transact and break into executive reality down here on earth. Through what?
Through his people.
Through his church.
When God wanted to smash Egypt and set his people free, why didn't he just go do it? What did he do? He got Moses and Aaron. Right? God always uses people. And they gather together to become what we call church. Not for us, but so that his will could be accomplished on earth. That's like the thing that's got to drive us, brothers and sisters. Your kingdom come. Your authority, your will, your rule and reign, your purposes. Let it crash into the earth. Just like it is up there. In other words, God, don't let anything down here be happening that's not happening up there. And let everything that you want up there happen down here. And our job is to be the conduit for that.
Amen.
To be the conduit for that. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You are a king. You're a queen. You're a priest. When you greet each other, you should greet each other the royal way. You're a priest. You have a right to come right up to God, your Father, and say, God, let's talk.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, let's, I want to get a couple comments on that before we go into this next part. Thoughts? What's triggering in your mind? Church as kingdom community. I want to talk about, before we go into this next part, just give me some thoughts on your identity. Who you are, a gate of heaven, royal priesthood, reign in life. Do you realize this is the enemy's biggest attack? It's not to come and get you into a car accident. No, no. His attack is when you have the car accident, he wants you to shrivel up into nothing. And if you don't understand that, you pray wrong. Oh God, don't let me get in an accident. No, the prayer should be, God, even if I get in an accident, let me stay strong. In faith.
Right.
See, we pray wrong if we don't understand the goal of God. The goal isn't the prevention of bad things to happen. Yes, that's okay. You're not supposed to, oh God, cause me trouble. But the point is, God, if that happens, how do I respond?
Yeah.
Where were you, God? See, I knew that Christianity was stupid. Right? Or I gotta go get drunk, gotta go get laid, gotta get stoned, gotta go buy some more stuff, or gotta go eat a bunch of more food. Because I'm stressed out. See, in other words, the enemy comes not at the point of crisis, but right after the crisis to get you to shrivel up and quit, to get you to throw in the towel, to get you to go take 3 months off, or to get you to go call that old boyfriend, right? He might be there and cause trouble in your life, but his ultimate goal is not that you get fired. It's that when you get fired, you take the wrong job next. Come on. His goal, he doesn't care if you're rich or poor. Listen, if he can get you to leave God's purposes by opening up a new job in Montana that pays double and you can buy a bigger house with less money, but it takes you away from God's divine purposes right here where you are, he's happy to talk to your boss and get you a promotion.
Yeah. Hello.
Right?
Yeah.
We think automatically, well, what matters if good stuff or bad stuff's happening? No, no, no. What matters is, are you reigning in life? Whether you get rich or you end up poor is not the issue. It's how you handle it. This is what Paul said. I know how to be content, whether I have a lot or whether I have little. That's how I reign in life. I govern the emotions and the spiritual realities around me so that whatever comes my way, I'm still ruling and reigning in life. I'm still dropping God's kingdom into the earth as it is in heaven. whether I get invited to the prom or I don't. It doesn't shrink down my identity.
Yeah.
Right? Whether I, whatever. Whether my ex-husband, you know, talks bad about me or he talks good about me, it doesn't affect me. Because I know who I am in Christ. That's the goal, brothers and sisters. Make sense?
Amen.
Yeah.
That changes the way we pray. It's God, when I get rocked, don't let me quit. When I get hit, when stuff happens. Do you realize if only good stuff happens to Christians, then Jesus would have never gone to the cross? Because to be real honest, the worst thing ever happened to anyone, and any human ever, was to go to the cross. But aren't you glad he did it?
Amen.
Yeah.
Why? Because you have sight of what it produced.
Mm.
Amen? Comments, thoughts, questions, anyone? What are you thinking about? What are you hearing? Now, you enclavers, I know that you guys spend a lot of time dialoguing. So I don't know why you're so quiet in here.
Oh, boy.
All right, y'all, come on.
Anyone, what are you hearing? Or question? Or what's kind of popping into your mind as you hear this? Dan? When they'll go to Craig?
Well, what you just said is the greatest testimony is you have is that if, like you said, devastation hits you, your testimony, the greatest thing that you would have is how you process through that, and people see that in your lives.
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing, that they realize this guy's different. This guy's, there's something about him that,
yeah,
if they don't know you, you know, they just watch from afar or whatever. So how much more is that, if that's where we're living life, that God's still the anchor.
Yeah.
He's the foundation no matter what happens.
Good. I mean, think of Joseph. The guy is betrayed by his brothers. He is sold into slavery. Right? He ends up being purchased by Mr. Potiphar. And his Mr. Potiphar's cougar wife is hitting on him. She frames him for sexual harassment. He ends up in prison. He becomes the top guy in prison, right? And he is forgotten by the two guys whose liberty he helped secure. And then finally, 13 years later, he shows up in front of Pharaoh, and he shows up without an ounce of bitterness towards authority. He says, Pharaoh, let me help you. What can I do for you? I mean, this guy has been betrayed by every authoritative figure in his life. And then he stands in front of Pharaoh and says, well, listen, here's what we need to do. You need to do this and this and this. And I mean, how does that happen? It happens because he was reigning in life. He was betrayed. He was a slave. On and on. But it doesn't touch him. Why? Because he's governing the reality. He knows who he is. He saw a vision of his identity. Sun and moon, 11 stars, right, bowing down to him. He knew who he was. He knew he was a house of the Lord. And it crafted his life. It steeled him against all the attacks of the enemy. Think of Job. Poor Job. I mean, but you see, the attack of the enemy is to get you to surrender your identity in crisis.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And begin to say, well, at least I'm going to heaven. The goal isn't to go to heaven. The goal is to what? Have his kingdom come here.
That's good.
The goal isn't to get up there. The goal is to get that stuff up there, down here.
Amen.
Going up there is like the cherry on the top of the cake, right? The goal is to let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In my marriage, my family, my kingdom community, in my job, in my mind, in my emotions, in my sexuality, all that. God, come and reign in me as I partner with your purpose. That's the goal. That's what church is supposed to be about.
Amen.
Amen. Craig?
He said it. I can't believe that, but he did. Share the same thing that despite adversities we reign, and that should be our focus.
But
he said it better though.
But you have a better voice. You got that little radio.
He said it better. Yeah, he said it better. My name is Craig. I kind of sometimes think I'm Muhammad Ali.
So you started on me out there in the hall, you know. That's the way it's going to go for the next, you know, 37 weeks. But ain't that true? I mean, how many times has something hit, bam, and then we like, the devil took me out. No, that was just a crisis. The devil's taking you out was waiting after it. When you're alone at home thinking about what just happened, and he's like, see, you've been praying your whole life. This happens to you. See, I know you can't trust them Christian people. They'll always screw you. That's the attack. So the governing must be at the point of attack. No sense governing over here when the actual attack's over there.
Right.
Why? Because we're a kingdom community. You have a right to govern your world. You have a right to govern the spiritual realm over your kids, your grandkids,
right,
as they go to school, as they go to work, whatever it might be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Someone else? Yeah.
What struck me was just your identity in Christ, because I know for me, I let circumstances, kind of label who I am or what I am or the situation I'm going through. And it's such a blessing to hear that no matter what, my identity is bound in Christ, and that overrides any situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that your identity isn't just that, well, I'm going to end up in heaven no matter what. It's my identity. I am a royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. I am a holy nation. I am part of a chosen race. Because every Christian would say, yeah, okay, well, whatever happens, well, at least I'm going to heaven. But the point is, the goal is not to suffer through life, but end up in heaven. It's to reign in life through one Christ Jesus.
And Darren always reminds us, it's your Ephesians 2:10, you're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
And when you live in purpose, you're doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the purpose must be rooted in absolute identity. Otherwise, see, if your identity and your purpose aren't one, then your identity, wrong identity, will dysfunctionalize your purpose. Right? You got to know who you are. And I'm saying that City of the Cross, Orange County, is being crafted by God to be a kingdom community, the house of the Lord, or a gate of heaven. So this stuff can crash into the earth through us, through our shared life, through our accurate hearts, through our faith, through our prayer, through our coming together, through our worship, through our eating donut, whatever it might be. But the goal is to create a conduit for God's purposes to explode first in me and then out through me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
The thing that resonated with me was keeping the gate open.
Yeah.
And, because we got a whole bunch of churches that are dedicated to gate closing activity.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me back to Matthew when he was saying and talking about when he confronted Peter and he said, "Thou art the revelation of Christ will give us the strength to overcome all of the gate closing activity in our life."
Yeah.
Just a simple revelation of who he is and who we are in him.
Yeah. I mean, if you have an open heaven and an open gate and God wants to take over the service, how do you say, well, excuse me, time's up? I have a roast in the oven.
Yes.
Argentina is playing today at noon. Or we've got, 1,000 more people need to come in. So, sorry guys, I know we were just getting close to God. He was about to heal some of you, but we got people waiting. And so, boom, out. You got to go home.
Mm.
It's not a bad heart that does it. It's an incorrect structure.
Mm.
The structure is we're a gate of heaven. We're a kingdom community. So what governs us is his will. And I understand a lot of preachers take advantage of that and they just make it be their little personal on and on. And I'm like, stop, dude. Right? But it's like we have to calibrate out who we are. We're here for him. He's not here for us.
Amen. Amen.
God does not exist for you. You exist for him. That's got to get really clear in our hearts, right? God's not here for me. I'm here for him. I was created, what was it saying in Revelation? For your pleasure, I was created. And that's one of the things. See, most of us, when we got saved, right? The moment we got saved, we said some type of a prayer probably, right? And what did you do? You accepted Jesus into your heart as your
Lord,
what?
Lord and Savior.
Okay, Lord and Savior. Okay. Now, obviously, Dan and Dave have heard me talk about this, so they wanted to give the right answer right there real quick. And it's embedded in it. But generally speaking, the altar call is come down and receive Jesus as your Savior.
Yeah.
Your Savior. So your first point of contact with Jesus is he's here to save me. And that calibrates your relationship. God, you're here for me. When I'm in trouble, you save me. When I'm in trouble, you save me. When I need something, you save me.
Wow.
And he becomes our little servant to come and save us all the time.
Mm.
And my relationship is based on me getting into trouble and him saving me.
Mm. Ouch. Yeah.
And I become addicted to forgiveness. I don't try to not sin. I sin and then I go get me a little puff of forgiveness.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And now I am absolutely dependent on forgiveness. I'm not trying to change or stop sinning. It's who I am. I'm a sinner. Thank God you're my Savior. But the Bible doesn't say you get saved by accepting Jesus as your Savior. Romans chapter 10 says you are saved by confessing Him as Lord. Now that changes the whole relationship, doesn't it? Because if I make you my Lord, now the architecture of this relationship is clear. You're the Lord, you're in boss, you're creator, I'm creation. Master, servant. Now my posture is, what do you want me to do?
Amen.
As opposed to, listen, I'm going to go get in trouble, you come save me. One's a very immature, childlike position, isn't it? That's like my boy Judah. He thinks my job is to go get him out of trouble. And it's okay when you're 4 years old. But when you're 25 years old and your life is marked by you get into trouble because you refuse to change and grow up, and someone will come save you. Whether it's the government or whether it's grandma or whether it's your friend or your cousin or your auntie or whatever it is. So notice the starting point of a relationship with God greatly determines your whole relationship. Paul said, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You're my Lord. And the first thing you say to a Lord is, what do you want me to do? I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Your will, not my will. Now things get good in life because we never get into trouble when we do His will. So you hear that? There's never been a time in your life that you've ever, ever, ever gotten into a place you're like, man, how the heck did I get here? And the answer was, well, because you did God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a mess and you look back and say, God, if I hadn't done your will, things would have been better? Right? Doing His will is always good. Amen? And that's the calibration point of our relationship. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But He's my Lord. He saved me so I could see Him as Lord.
Amen.
And that goes back again to kingdom. He's the King. He's the King. Alright? He's not my buddy. As one rapper said, Jesus is not a hippie out picking lilies with his friends. Peace. He's not this like little, you know, effeminate kind of just, oh, don't worry about it. No, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our Creator. He's our Master. He is our Sovereign, and yet He allows us to come close to Him. Amen.
Yeah.
What is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. Listen, remember Jacob when he woke up? He said, the Lord is in this place, and I was afraid. That's a good place to be, to fear the Lord. Because I promise, if you fear the Lord, you'll never fear man. If you fear the Lord, you'll never fear your boss. If you fear the Lord, you'll never fear being lonely. If you fear the Lord, because the fear of the Lord calibrates all other fears. Amen? Mm-hmm. Kingdom community. We're not just trying to have church in the general sense. We are what? A gate. Right here. We are a gate. The gate of heaven. We want to transact with God every time we meet. Angels ascending and descending, bringing us God's word, bringing us resource. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, I think we'll probably stop there. let me just give this little introduction. I won't teach. I just want to give this introduction. So if the church, if City of the Cross OC, is indeed a portal for the kingdom of God, and are we all pretty clear, the scriptures we looked at, that we are in fact part of the kingdom?
Yes.
Right? I am a king. I am a royal priesthood. He's made us to be a kingdom. We reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So we must clearly and biblically know the definition and the nature of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a phrase that is thrown around a lot today. There's a lot of talk about missional life, and they call that the kingdom. In other words, in their minds, the kingdom is anything that's not a church service. But I'm saying that the church is the vehicle for the kingdom of God. We have to understand, what do we mean by the kingdom of God? And the kingdom of God has been the content of many studies throughout history, and in these present times has once again come to the forefront of the mind of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is again emphasizing the kingdom of God. Whenever the church becomes very institutionalized, whenever the church global becomes very traditional or boundary by human development, the Holy Spirit begins to reintroduce and reemphasize the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And because the kingdom breaks us out of our human conceptions of what church should be. And here's some of the reasons why the kingdom is at the forefront of the Holy Spirit in this present generation. Number one, because there is a widespread disillusionment with the institutionalization of the present organized church. I mean, you can't go to a bookstore and go through the books without someone writing something about the church. The church needs to change. The church is this. We're tired of church. And the church is too, it's too religious. It's too legalistic. It's too traditional. It's too this and this and this. And there's kind of an angst amongst a lot of people about the state of the church. Now, again, remember the devil? Remember him? He's very happy. If you respond to that by saying, screw the church, I'm going to meet at Starbucks with my buddy and we'll call that church. Right? And that's a lot of people who react that way. It's like, well, we meet at Denny's and that's church. And so the devil's just as happy if you stay in a dead church or you have what's called church, but it's not. Yeah. So there is a widespread disillusionment with the institutionalization of the present organized church. So the Holy Spirit is emphasizing. The second reason he's emphasizing it, that this thing called globalization. Y'all know what globalization is? It's the idea that the whole world has shrunk. Via global shrinking, technology. I mean, listen, the Arab Spring and the stuff that happens all over the world, I mean, that stuff can't happen in secret no more. Because it goes everywhere. I mean, WikiLeaks and Snowden and technology. I mean, you realize in many countries in Africa, they don't actually have any house wired phones, but they all have cell phones. They leaped over a technological leap. You know, we went from, you know, no phones to wired phones to, right, to this and this and this, cell phones. They're coming into the stream now, and it is leaping up to here. So you have people out in the villages of the Congo, outside of Lusaka or in Vanuatu in Fiji, and they're on an iPhone or they're on a cell phone. They can talk to the world. Global shrinking, technology, communications, multinational corporations. You realize Nike? I mean, I was watching the World Cup, and I was looking at, who was it? Was it Croatia? Or I forget, but all of them. I mean, they're all wearing jerseys made by Nike. I mean, Nike is a company started in Portland. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the entire planet, I mean, Iran. That's what it was. It was Iran. I was watching Iran playing. They're wearing jerseys made by Nike. I mean, Cameroon. I mean, countries that have nothing to do, but multinational corporations are really controlling and manipulating the world. Because whether you are a Nike or a Microsoft or an Apple or a Halliburton or whatever it might be, it is connecting the world. And now governments aren't as strong as they used to be because multinational corporations really manipulate and can control all things. Listen, if some company pulls out of Colombia goes down the tubes.
Yeah.
A corporation's making a decision and it changes the entire socioeconomic structure of a nation. Why? Well, that's global shrinking, globalization. Right, the money funds that are connected, all that stuff. And I'm not talking about, you know, conspiracy theories. I'm just saying it's the reality where we are. All right, and so that's why God is emphasizing, one reason why he's emphasizing the kingdom as well, because the kingdom is not an American thing. It's this thing up here. Remember, he is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
So you realize you might like or dislike globalization, but God's like saying, yeah, connect it all together. I'm going to use that. He says, do the work, and I'm going to use it. Why? Because now we can fly anywhere. We can do a Zoom meeting, a go-to meeting, and we can meet with leaders in 50 nations right there face-to-face. It's the kingdom of God. Yeah. Third reason the Holy Spirit is emphasizing the kingdom is the misrepresentation of God's rule in the earth via the identification of the kingdom of God with the religious state. Another reason God is really emphasizing the kingdom now is because there's been so much misrepresentation of the kingdom by identifying the kingdom with this or that religious state, whether it be America or whether it be the Muslim states or whatever it might be. The idea that the kingdom of God is a earthly nation is making the Holy Spirit say, hey, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is. All right, so the misrepresentation. The last reason is God's present desire to finish his purposes among the nations. God absolutely wants to finish his purposes among the nations.
Amen.
That's why he created nations. And we'll look at this as we go. But those four reasons are why the Holy Spirit is emphasizing again the reality of the kingdom. We are a kingdom community. We as a kingdom community are actually connected to over 95 nations because of the apostolic network that we're part of. So just being City of Christ Orange County, we have brothers and sisters all across the nations of the earth that are walking in the same patterns that we are now.
Right.
The local church is no longer local anymore. It's global. It's global. Why? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so next week we'll start looking at what the kingdom of God is not, and then we'll actually look at what the kingdom of God is. Amen?
Amen.
We're creating a core. April, what was it, 3rd, 4th, or 5th? We launched a church plant in Orange County. And we launch it from a core. From a core that has to be developed, has to be built. We've got to live together. We've got to share our life together. We've got to hear God's word together. And that's how we're going to transact with God. Amen?
Yeah.
Sound good? Yeah. So someone says, so what church do you go to? You say, well, I go to a kingdom community. What? What are you talking about? And you say, well, no, here's why. Yeah? New language creates new dialogue and breaks us out of comfortable, religious, traditional settings. That's what new language does. It makes you have to shift. It makes you have to dialogue. Someone says, well, what church do you go to? You say, well, I go to a kingdom community. It's a church, but we call it a kingdom. Oh, why? That sounds weird. Are you guys Mormon? Are you guys Jehovah's Witness? No, here's the reason. And you take them through the notes. It says, because God's called us not just to get saved and go to heaven. He's called us to reign in life through Christ.
Amen.
Da, 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 da. And then you say, listen, come and look at my life. Right? Because you can't just say it. If you say it and you're not doing it, you're a Pharisee. You got to be doing it. Amen? Kingdom community.
Yeah.
Amen? Lord, we thank you today for your word.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here, line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching us what it is to be church. What it is to be a church. God, you are activating our hearts in awareness of this thing called kingdom community. A royal priesthood of God. A chosen race. A people set apart. Designed to be kings and priests and reign in the earth. God, I thank you that we're not designed to go kill our neighbors and to go take up arms, but Lord, but to, in the realm of the Spirit, govern the flow of your purposes into the earth. So God, our prayer is, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Right here on earth. Right here in Orange County. Right here in Irvine. Even as it is in heaven. In my life, in my marriage, in my thoughts. Lord, teach me how to reign in life through one Christ Jesus. So God, I thank you for this line that you're laying into our hearts. Next week as we gather, build upon it. Let it be for your glory. We thank you for your presence, your teaching, your power in us. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen.
Amen.
On the way out, please drop your offering in. We got